Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your responses to Mike Trout's 10-year extension for $360 million, which means over the next 12 years, he will make $426.5 million. And that's just baseball salary. That doesn't include endorsements or any of the other potential perks that come along with being a famous athlete. But your responses are cracking me up on both Twitter and Facebook. And I know it's hard because it's not money we can identify with. Well, okay, maybe one or two of you can. Maybe your heirs and heiresses and you can understand what it's like. But for the most part, I think you're in the same boat as me. It's something that's unfathomable. It's not something that we'll ever experience in our lifetimes other than when we play Monopoly. And I'm not even sure my game of Monopoly has that much money in it. So some of you are cynical. Some of you are humorous. Some of you are ticked. Some of you are flat out jealous. But the responses do make me smile. This is a question I'm going to ask because I wonder if this is... It's a majority opinion instead of a small minority opinion. Do these contracts lead to a lack of interest in Major League Baseball? Do these contracts lead you to think that the sport doesn't have parity? Because this is the Angels. Now, I know the Angels are a team that has always spent money. I mean, that their ownership is more than willing to spend money. But in terms of it being money that leads them to a World Series, we know that's not the case. Not recently. And so the money they've spent to bring in big free agents, it's not a waste. But it's not like they've been able to buy a World Series like some, you know, like some fans would say. It's not fair. These teams can buy themselves a crown, but it doesn't work that way. But Tim says on Facebook, these contracts are out of control, seriously losing my interest in baseball. And right under that, Mark says he is the face of baseball today, which is true. We did a show my first year on After Hours. We did a show. I remember I was in Atlanta, though I don't remember why. I just remember it was my first show on the road out of the studio. And somehow we stumbled on this idea of trying to pinpoint the face of Major League Baseball. And it was this weird no man's land where there really wasn't one face. A lot of you were pointing to guys who were later in their careers, who were retiring. Some of you were saying some of the younger guys, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Clayton Kershaw. Now, this was a few years ago. So it was early in their careers. It was before Trout had won two MVPs. It was, I guess, going back to when Bryce Harper was a brash teenager. And there were so many different answers. And then a couple of years ago, after Aaron Judge won the Home Run Derby, we did a show about whether or not Judge was the new face of Major League Baseball. Now, the Yankees followed that up with a trip to the ALCS. Remember, they played in Game 7. They came within one win of making it to the World Series. Last year, not quite the same, obviously. They didn't get as far as they wanted to. They've now gone through a managerial change, blah, blah, blah. But Aaron Judge is still one of those young guys that you can recognize anywhere because of his size, his stature, his smile, obviously his power. So it's interesting to think about now in light of all these big contracts. Now, we still theoretically would have a fat contract for Mookie Betts. And then maybe at some point, Aaron Judge will be the next in line.
A Judgian blast over everything and left.
And right now, it's I think it's fair to say that of all the athletes in Major League Baseball, Trout deserves to be the highest paid. Now, there hasn't been the postseason success, and he's definitely had some injuries. I'm desperate to see him back on the playoff stage. No doubt the Angels are as well. I want that to happen. I think it's better for Major League Baseball when you have these young stars. And we just haven't had that. We've been denied seeing the Angels in October for several years now. But if you're looking around baseball and you're asking who else deserves to be the highest paid in the sport, I don't know there is someone else. Again, at some point, records are made to be broken. Bryce Harper's lasted for all of 18 days. Oh, wait, 19 days, excuse me. Let's give him the near 3 weeks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thought it was interesting to hear John Heyman's comments on MLB Network about the timing. Why now? Why did the Angels decide with 2 years left on Trout's current deal that has now been wrapped up into a total package, but with 2 years left, why they had to move now?
Yeah, this was the time to do it with 2 years to go. A player of that caliber, you're not going to sign him with 1 year to go or less. So this was it. I think people understood that. I wasn't sure that they were going to be able to do it. Congratulations to them for doing it. They made clear he was never going to be on the block. They weren't trading him regardless. I give them credit for that. They were very honest about that up front. He was the only player, I think, in Major League Baseball who was 100% untouchable. Although others are close, he's the one who was 100% untouchable, and they said that from the start. And you're right, give them credit for getting this done.
How about that? According to Heyman, who's a longtime baseball insider and now is with MLB Network, he was the only player in baseball who was 100% untouchable, though Bryce Harper's contract would put him in the same stratosphere at least. I mean, you could say the same thing about Nolan Arenado, at least according to the Rockies. They made sure that he was untouchable or that he believes he's untouchable. It's not a bad way to prove to someone that that you value them, that they're worth it. Manny Machado, that one's different because there's an opt-out there in the middle. If the Angels don't make it to the playoffs this year, you want to talk about a flop and a disappointment. I believe it would be as bad as the new deal doesn't start for another 2 years, but it would be as bad as the Phillies missing the playoffs. Could you imagine? Or I almost said the Chargers. Oh gosh, they're not even in San Diego now for the last year. The San Diego Padres. You spend all that money on Manny Machado and you don't make the playoffs? Playoffs? I mean, that's just bad. But we haven't seen Mike Trout and the Angels on the postseason stage since 2014. Do you guys remember what happened in 14? Do you remember how, and I'm pretty sure it was the same year that the Nationals and Angels were the best two teams in Major League Baseball, and they both flopped in the playoffs badly. But do you remember what happened? I remember this specifically. In the division series, they got swept by the Royals. They were out in three games. Before that, their last playoff appearance was 2009. And they reached the ALCS where they lost to the Yankees. But they've had one playoff appearance in a decade. Money can't buy you a postseason. But if the Angels want this Mike Trout contract extension to be worth it, not to mention they're paying him $33.25 million next year. If they want this contract extension to be worth it, they better get their rears in gear. They cannot afford to keep missing the playoffs. No matter how good he is, no matter how many butts he puts in the seats, no matter how recognizable a face he is, even if he's the face of the entire sport, if he's not playing in October, it's wasted money, period. Or at least that's the period on my opinion. You, again, can find us on Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence or on our Twitter. Our show Twitter is After Hours CBS. My Twitter, 8-Law Radio. 855-212-4227. Let's work in this quick call here from Steve in Green Bay. Steve, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just calling to find out your woman's intuition on your Final Four.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet.
I got my butt kicked by my best friend.
I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't done my bracket. I'm procrastinating.
Oh, I thought you had your four because you were talking about, I thought maybe you had your Final Four all figured out.
No, not yet. We're going to do a video reveal, and I'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. But I am the person who now waits until the last possible second.
Okay. We have one other question.
Well, what's your Final Four?
I'm here talking baseball here.
Yeah, just keep going.
Nobody's talking about Christian Yelich. Guy's young.
Is he in the news?
Won the MVP last year.
Okay, but did something new happen with him? There's a lot of players in Major League Baseball I'm not talking about right now. I'm actually only talking about it with the contracts.
Brewers came so close.
Okay, I know, but that was months ago.
To the World Series.
What kind of a radio host would I be if I was going back and talking about October when there's a lot going on right now?
Yeah, true.
Okay.
But, I mean, I just think that guy's got potential to be the next Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly can be the next Christian Yelich or the only Christian Yelich. I don't know that there's another Mike Trout. But the Brewers are certainly watching what is happening with these other contracts. I mean, the Rockies were doing it. They didn't want Nolan Arenado to even have the opportunity to walk away. They wanted him to know how they valued him, and I would suspect the Brewers will want to do the same thing. Now, that will represent maybe a change for them, being aggressive. Maybe they don't let him, same thing with Mike Trout, don't let him get anywhere close to free agency, want to make sure that he knows he's valued and they want him to stay there. Or he may decide that that's not what he wants. I think it depends, on how much time passes and what happens between now and the time at which they would start to negotiate or they would offer him a deal.
Okay, one last quick thing. Clay Matthews and
the Rams.
Randall Cobb.
Oh.
Took off today. I was stunned. I was like, wow, they didn't even, I don't know what, he got 2 years, Matthews got 2 years with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't say how much he got. Matthews got, Cobb got 1 year, $5 million with the Cowboys, and I was sitting there thinking, I can't believe the Packers didn't even match that. That kind of stunned. What do you think?
It doesn't sound like they wanted to. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they wanted to. For Clay Matthews, this is hard, obviously, because he's their career sack leader in franchise history. But it was. The final season, he was. They could have given him another deal, but he only had 3.5 sacks this year. So they felt like, and we know this about the Packers. They wanted to get younger. They wanted to bring in some free agents and shore up their defense. So they weren't offering him one, at least not one that I've heard. And I would say the same thing about Randall Cobb. They were ready to move on.
Yeah, and they paid it. They paid Rodgers all that money, and he has no say. He said that he wanted Cobb back. You know, that was his one wish.
He said the same thing about Jordy Nelson, but I would say he probably already got his big wish with a coaching change.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a situation where Aaron Rodgers gets three wishes. I think he got one big one. He played that card already.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with that.
All right, Steve.
You kind of threw him under the bus. All right, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, sorry, I haven't finished my bracket yet. I haven't started my bracket yet, actually. So I'm the antithesis of producer Chris, who did his within a few minutes of the bracket coming out. Clearly, we don't give him enough work to do if that's what he was doing. you've got, 20, we'll call it 20 minutes. Before Ask Amy Anything, so you can send your final questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you would like to share your Final Four with me, you certainly can. But the bracket challenge is still open until Thursday morning. And I generally wait. I think about it. But also it's been a really busy couple of days, and I'm just a procrastinator by nature. So I will have that bracket done in time for tomorrow's show. How about that? I'll make you a deal. I won't even wait till Thursday morning because I'll be sleeping on Thursday morning, but I'll have the bracket done by tomorrow this time. And we, hopefully Dave will be back. Not that we don't like Connor. I guess if Dave's not back, Connor will have to stand in and give us his final four. But we'll do the video reveal of our final four, and then you can check it out on our various social media sites. But yeah, well, I'm not there yet. And Dave's not here, and he hasn't done his bracket either. So we have to wait on Dave. We'll blame it on him. So again, your questions for Ask Amy, that's 20 minutes away on either Twitter or Facebook. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I think that's one thing about this contract that I'm able to do. Having 13 years in the place, I'm able to, help recruit guys to this organization. Ownership understands it. Our manager is awesome. And I can really put, that faith in myself and being able to say, hey, we're going to go about it the right way. We're the Philadelphia Phillies, and we want whoever wants to come to Philly. If you don't want to come to Philly, then don't come. Don't be part of it. But if you want to come and be part of a winning team and a winning culture, then, we're going to need the best players to do that. I think it's respecting Mike Trout in a certain way during the season and letting him play and do the things he needs to do to, of course, be Mike Trout.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, so much for Bryce Harper recruiting one Mike Trout to Philadelphia. I guess baseball doesn't need to be irked. The Angels were a little bit annoyed, too. Remember, they were not thrilled with the fact that Bryce Harper was publicly trying to woo Mike Trout. Now, is that the reason why they went ahead and bit the bullet now and made sure that Trout was locked up for the next 12 years as opposed to the next two? I don't know. This is probably something that they wanted to get done anyway. This kind of contract doesn't materialize overnight, and it doesn't materialize simply because Bryce Harper was yapping. But it's a nice incentive. Also a nice, I told you so, or butt out Bryce Harper. And so Mike Trout, for the next 12 years, is an Angel. There is a no-trade clause, a full no-trade clause, as well as zero opt-outs. But I just want to say again, I can't in good conscience call it a 12-year deal for $426.5 million. It's not. These next 2 years on his contract, and I know that's what's being reported, it would be more accurate to say over the next 12 years he's going to make nearly $430 million. But 19 and 20 were already part of his current contract. So he's making $66.5 million in the next 2 years. And then the new extension kicks in, 10 years, 360. Maybe that means nothing to you because all you can hear is $426.5 million, and that's fine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I saw some quotes from Gio Gonzalez. We thought that maybe he had done a radio interview, the new Yankees minor league pitcher. That sounds so weird to say. But he was scheduled to do an interview on our New York affiliate, WFAN. And I don't know if he did the interview or not. It was in the middle of the daytime, but we tried to find any of the audio from Gio. Instead, what I saw was quotes from him on Twitter. I saw that he did make some comments, and so did Yankees manager Aaron Boone, but not that we had any audio for. And so at some point, we'll hear from him, but this is the quote that John Heyman of MLB Network had on his Twitter. Wearing pinstripes for the first time is pretty exciting. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd be a Yankee. I'm so happy to be a Yankee. He did throw 88 pitches on Monday in spring training, but according to Heyman, the Yankees aren't actually expecting him to be ready for opening day. Now, there's another pitching issue for the Yankees, which just popped up. Dylan Betances. He's actually going to begin the year on the DL. Shoulder impingement. Although, according to the pitcher himself, his shoulder is just tired. So he's behind in his preparation. Not being on his regular throwing program. And so the Yankees themselves have run into some major issues with their pitching staff before they even break camp. But Gio Gonzalez, should he make that major league roster, which there should be no reason why he wouldn't, unless there's something horribly wrong, and he's all of a sudden forgotten how to throw the baseball. and they're going to need him. If you consider they're already two starters down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next, it's Ask Amy Anything. I'm not looking at your questions, but on our Facebook page, producer Chris is going through them. I'm looking, though, at your responses to Mike Trout's extension. Again, it's 10 years, $360 million, tacked onto the 2 years he already had. Jim says on Facebook, I wish there was a cap. Michael says the balance of power is only skewed when the Yankees sign these mega deals. Wow, why is that? I don't think that's true. I think the Red Sox had a massive payroll last year, and they end up as World Series champs, not to mention set records during the year. The Phillies will be sorely disappointed if all the moves they made come to naught. Charles says on Facebook, share the wealth. With whom? You or someone else? You or other players? It's impossible for me to understand or think about, really. But Joe applauds it, says the contract is deserved. One of the few that lets his effort on the field do his talking. No drama. And that's true. We're not talking about OBJ drama here. We're not even talking about the attitude of a Bryce Harper. We're talking about a guy that, I mean, I've talked to Angels teammates before. He's a big kid. He just loves to play baseball. Now he's obviously married and he's one of the richest athletes in the history of the world, but he's also a huge Eagles fan. and he gives a lot of ribbing to his teammates and he takes a lot. He's just one of the guys. And so if you can fathom this type of money going anywhere, why not Mike Trout? Now, I'm going to continue to say, 3 playoff games for the Angels in nearly a decade is not enough. And this will be money wasted if they do not get back to the postseason. From now until the contract runs out, get your rears to the playoffs. If you're not playing in October, you're throwing money out the window. And so you lock up the best player in the game, you better make sure there are enough pieces around him that you're still standing come fall ball or still standing come the fall classic. All right, so final minutes to be able to submit your questions. After Hours CBS or our Facebook page, Ask Amy Anything is coming up next.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I know you're out there. I know you're listening because you bombard us with your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is good. Always glad that you're interested, that you care. So thanks for posting your questions. Don't forget to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge if you're on social media. It's just a small hop away. It's a small array and a hop away. Whatever. It's Hump Show. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The less I talk, now the better. Oh, producer Chris, so much pressure on you.
Here we go. Kyle, question one. He says he's excited for the start of the Major League Baseball season, less than an hour away, first pitch, and Ichiro is his favorite player.
Woo!
Glad the Mariners kept him around for the 2 opening games in Japan.
Wait, is this part of the question?
My question for you is, who is your favorite baseball player of all time? And he used the hashtag AskAmyAnything.
Nice. Pedro Martinez is my favorite baseball player of all time. spitfire that he was. And I remember making an appointment TV every time that he pitched. Specifically, I wouldn't say not late in his career. I also rooted for him when he ended up with the Mets. It was really difficult for me because I had rooted so hard for him as a member of the Red Sox. And growing up in New Hampshire, that was kind of the team that we rooted for in my family. But people asked me if it was the Red Sox and the Mets in the World Series, who would you root for? And I would have rooted for Pedro. Like, he was my favorite. So I would have rooted for him to beat the Red Sox in the World Series. He's all of 5'10", if that, a slight frame. But the personality and the ferocity and the way that he pitched and the pride that he brought to the table, he absolutely my favorite. Now, there are others that I really enjoy watching now, but I don't have the same passion for a player that I did when Pedro was on the mound.
What do you think of him as a broadcaster?
Yeah, I think he's very insightful. I like the fact that he is equal parts confident in young players and pitchers, and he'll look for the good qualities, and he builds the players up before he then criticizes them. I feel as though he's found the right balance. And it's part of his personality, but also part of his culture, that he doesn't beat around the bush. He just says it. Pedro is very blunt. He just says it, just like he was when he was pitching. And so, I think he's a great broadcaster. I wish we could get him here on the show. That would be awesome.
Is that a subtle,
yes,
not so subtle hint?
It's not so subtle. Please, let's do it. It's that time of the year again.
See what we could do. Alan wants to know, would you ride on the back of a motorcycle with someone you trusted?
I have in the past. My stepdad had a bike, and I remember going around the block when I was 12 or 13. But I don't know that I would now. I mean, it's not that I don't trust the driver. It's that I don't trust the other people around the motorcycle. They're difficult to see. And honestly, not a week goes by that I don't have a motorcycle whizzing between me and the lane next to me, a truck. Maybe it's a semi, maybe it's me. And I don't drive slow on the highways. And he's whizzing right between us, or in New York City traffic, which I navigate on a nightly basis. They don't follow traffic laws. They just go flying up in between two lanes. And they're hard to see. And especially when you're not obeying traffic laws. Now, again, I've done it before. If it was in a neighborhood somewhere, a leisurely ride, you know, maybe a mile or a couple miles. The other thing, too, is that I know you have to wear helmets, or you don't have to. Not in every state do you have to legally. But it's really smart to wear a helmet. Why get on a motorcycle if you're not going to? But that completely blows the whole wind through your hair right out of the water. So the idea of a motorcycle and having your hair blowing behind you and all that stuff, that's great. But then you wear a helmet and it's not the same effect. So
cool in the movies, not so practical.
Actually, it was one of, and I don't know if it's still the same, so please forgive me, New Hampshire residents, for not knowing your current laws. But when I was growing up, you did not have to wear a motorcycle helmet in New Hampshire. It was the whole live free or die, which is the state motto. But if you don't wear a helmet, and another thing is, I have a friend who just died in an accident where he was riding a motorcycle and a car just cut him off, and that was it. I mean, he didn't even live to get to the hospital. And so, even if you're driving extremely carefully, it's still dangerous because you don't look like all the other vehicles on the road.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, you're flipping a coin after like almost every time, especially if you're going fast, like you said. Justin gets a gold star for his question because he used the hashtag AskAmyAnything.
Wow.
And he says he wants you to rank your favorite Star Wars films.
Rank them? Okay, so if I start at the top or the bottom, which, gosh, this is difficult.
Let's make it a dramatic finish. Let's go.
Oh, so you want to go backwards?
Yeah.
Okay, well, number two. What is number two? Phantom Menace was one. Okay, so number two is my least favorite. So going, like the one, two, three. I'm going to do them by episodes, okay? So episode two is my least favorite. Episode one is my second least favorite. Episode three would be third from the bottom. Okay, so I'll watch them when they're on TV, but they're not my favorites. And Hayden Christensen, simpering. That's the word that comes to mind. He drives me nuts. I like Queen Amidala, Padme. She was great, but he was just I mean, talk about whiny. I can't stand the whining. Anyway, so those are the bottom three. Am I just doing those or am I adding the other movies too? Like Solo and...
Well, they're Star Wars movies, okay. Aren't they, right?
I guess. They're not part of the episodes. But then I would say Solo would be fourth from the bottom. Then I would say, oh gosh, this is where it gets hard. I loved Rogue One. So I would say, yeah, four. Oh, shoot. But I love the originals. So Solo, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, Rogue One, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi is my all-time favorite.
Boom.
Like, yeah, so that would probably change based on, like, the week, but that's where it is right now. And let me just be perfectly clear about this. I love the new ones. The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens, it means the world to me that we got Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher back in these movies because they are two of the most iconic movie actors and characters of my entire life. Okay. I am so sad about Carrie Fisher being gone, but I'm so glad they found a way to include her in episode 9.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that, I thought. Ed wants to know, would you ever pursue coaching a WNBA team?
No, I don't think coaching is my thing. I did some when I was younger, and I've had some offers to coach. In fact, I just got an offer to coach a high school basketball team this past year, but I had already signed with Columbia to do their games on TV. So no, I don't think I could deal with that kind of a commitment. It would be fun as a side deal if I was be able, you know, work with young people. I would like to coach. I wouldn't mind like volunteering with a team. But in terms of my paid career, I'm born to be a broadcaster. This is what I do. It's what I've poured the last 20 years of my life into. It's what I've been working on since I was 16 years old. So I'm not going into coaching now. But it would be fun, but it would have to be young people, high schoolers, junior high kids, to be able to participate with them and to teach them and train them at the base level. That would be something I would do, even as a volunteer job. I wouldn't even want to get paid for it.
Ralph wants to know, this is going to be an interesting one.
Uh-oh.
In your life, what is the single best day you've ever had?
Really? Oh my gosh. I don't know. That's impossible to say, but I would say the two days that come to mind would be the births of my nieces. I mean, they're the two, other than my brother and my mom, they are the two most important people in my life, and I love them like they're my own kids. People ask me all the time, when are you going to get married and have kids? Well, I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. It would make it a lot easier to wait. However, I would not trade a family of my own for the relationships I have with my nieces. I cherish them. And again, they brought me so much joy in my life. I can't imagine loving two young people more. Though I suppose that, you know, if they were my own kids, I don't know how I could love them more even if they were my own kids. I feel like they are. And so I've spent, you know, the last now 21 years pouring into their lives and being there for all their big moments. They both graduate this year, one from college, one from high school. And I've been there for concerts. I've been there for sporting events. I've been there, you know, for vacations we've done together. I've been there for the tears and I've been there for the smiles. And I wouldn't trade that for my own family, not for anything in the world. So I would say those are the two days in my life that I would say are the biggest.
That was very well said.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Casey wants to know, what type of vacation spot do you prefer? One on the beach or one with mountains?
Ooh, I love mountains, but I'm a sucker for the water. And it doesn't even have to be the beach. I just love the water. When I was a kid growing up in New Hampshire, we did Newfound Lake and Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. And we had a small motorboat, 16-footer, for skiing and tubing. And those were some of the best vacations of my life. I did do a vacation on the beach in South Carolina last year for a week, just me and Penny being my dog. And it was the best vacation of my life. And I'm going back, not to the same spot, but in May, I will also be renting an Airbnb on a different beach in South Carolina. And we'll be going and we'll be enjoying every second of it. So the countdown is on, just over 6 weeks away to another beach vacation. So yes, the ocean is my happy place. So that would be the kicker. But mountains are amazing too.
Unless it's for a polar bear plunge.
Well, right, that actually wasn't the ocean. But right, I'll be plunging into the warm water, but I will not be, yeah, no. I will not be going to the Cape for my May vacation. That will not be happening.
No, not,
the water's too cold there.
This is actually something we were talking about in our control studio. Wes wants to know if you can describe some of your yoga exercises that you do.
Really? Okay, well, my teacher is a dark Jedi, and I love the balance exercises. So there's a lot of different things you can do standing on one foot, raising up your other leg, and then, you know, doing different positions, leaning forward so your body's prone, a tree position, which is one where you're kind of standing up straight, but you're still on one leg. So I love balance poses where you're, again, you do a series of various motions and moves based on standing on one leg. There are two bird positions that I suck at, but I keep trying. The pigeon, which is, oh my gosh, think about the awkwardness of a pigeon. You have one leg back and you have one leg up forward in front and you're laying flat or as flat as you could possibly get. Oh, it freaking hurts. And I mean, you try to get out of that position and I groan like, oh, it hurts bad. She tells you, go slow, go slow. The other one's crow, which is your two hands are planted, your arms are bent. You're supposed to have your shins on the backs of your arms. So essentially your triceps. You're supposed to be up on two hands. So your feet are up off on the ground because you're leaning and balancing on your triceps with your knees. Yeah, it sounds complicated. I haven't been able to get up yet. So I can kick up there, but I can't stay up. I can't get the balance. So crow is also an extreme challenge to me. My favorite one is the one where you lay flat like you're a dead person. That's my favorite.
And it's funny, too, because they're like the two dirtiest birds you can think of instead of like dove,
right,
or swan.
I did just do my first solo headstand without any spotter and her help getting up. I got up there and I was just hanging out looking at the rest of the room upside down. It was all I could do. My instructor's name is Lori. It was all I could do not to say, Lori, look!
Talk about a video that would get a lot of views.
I stayed quiet. I was really proud of myself, but you should have seen the massive grin on my face. I mean, just hanging out, looking at the world upside down. I was so proud.
Squeezing one more here, I think we can get in. Joe wants to know, what are some of the best nicknames in the NFL after Mr. Big Chest?
That is not a good nickname.
No, it is not.
It's not a good nickname at all. I don't know. I'm up against the clock here. With 20 seconds to go, why cannot I remember any nicknames right now? Big Ben is a good one. I mean, that one's fitting. A-Rod is a good one. Oh, yeah. Sweetness, Walter Payton. I thought you meant current. Shoot, what else do we have? Tom Terrific? No. That's not a good one. I have no idea. Give me some more. Do we have any more nicknames that I know? The Fridge was perfect. What else could you ask for? But that's not current.
I don't know if there's a lot of great ones out there.
I don't
there
know
right
either,
now.
But I can't. I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember any of them. I can barely remember my own nicknames. Forget. I mean, OBJ is a pretty good one, but it's not. It's just his name. I don't know. I suck at that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.